It is just a week away, which seems a bit strange for some who are used to our gospel meeting being in the month of September, but Keith Parker will be here, Lord willing, next Sunday. And he's chosen that theme of Revive Us Again. Sunday morning Bible class at 9 o'clock, he'll discuss God's recipe for revival. Sunday morning worship at 10 o'clock, he'll discuss Revive Us Again. Sunday evening worship at 6:30 p.m., he will discuss Go Tell What the Lord Has Done For You. Then Monday through Wednesday evening, each night at 7 o'clock p.m., Monday night, revival in the home. Tuesday night, revival in worship. And then Wednesday night, saved or lost. And with all of this discussion about revival and our gospel meeting being upon that theme, I thought that we would spend some time this evening thinking about revival and asking a few questions. And first, let us consider, when do we need revival? The word revival or revive means to make alive. In Psalm 85 and verse 6, the psalmist wrote, "Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" Revival in a simple form is getting right with God. And we need revival all the time, over and over again, as the psalmist wrote, "Will you not yourself revive us again?" But in considering that question of when do we need revival, we might do well to ask, why do we need revival all of the time? And it simply comes down to the fact that we lose sight of what's most important. We lose our focus sometimes. We allow things to distract us from God. And so we need revival when we don't love God as we once did. We need revival when we would rather watch television than read the Bible and pray. We need revival when we seldom think thoughts of eternity. We need revival when we make little effort to share the gospel with the lost. We need revival when our Christianity is joyless and is dry. We need revival when our hearts are cold and our eyes are dry. We need revival when the fire has died down in our hearts, in our marriages, and in the church. We need revival when we know the truth in our heads that we are not practicing in our lives. We need revival when we are more concerned about our children's academic and athletic activities and success than we are about their soul's condition. We need revival when we have an unforgiving spirit towards one another. We need revival when we don't long for the fellowship of God's people, and it being the highlight of our week. When do we need revival? We need revival all of the time. And so I guess our first question should really be considered under the thought of, do we need it now? Do we need revival now? And considering that we may well need revival now, we ask the question, what will revival look like? Would we recognize revival if it were to take place today? If it was a part of us today? If it was upon us now? Would we recognize it? Revival is not about adding large numbers of people to the kingdom, though that is important and it is a focus of ours daily, and it's something that may well happen because of a revival. Rather, a revival is about making us who are citizens of the Lord's kingdom, part of the church, alive again. Revival comes about when Christians confess, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When the lukewarm Christians get fired up, Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. When the Christians who are downtrodden look upward, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Revival will come when God's people pray for it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. When the true soldiers of the cross stand up. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. When the spiritually sleeping members wake up. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. And when the mad people make up. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 30 and 31. But what does revival look like? 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23, we find a discussion about a young king named Josiah. And there's some things in that text in 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23 that I want to bring to our attention here that might help us in looking at and considering this question of what will revival look like. As Josiah has become king, there's some things that he has enacted and some activated some individuals to go and to carry out some task that he has placed before them. And in their doing so, they found something. They found the book of the law of the Lord. And so verse number 10, those individuals find the book and they bring it and they read it in the presence of the king. Verse number 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. We see that revival begins with a recognition of sin, and that recognition of sin comes about through the hearing of the Word of God. It happened then, and that's how it will begin today as well. When we read and we study God's Word, revival will begin to take place as we acknowledge and recognize our sin. But that's not where it was left at. The revival that took place with Josiah and those whom he would lead was a revival that led them to recognize the sin, but then they regretted that sin. Verse number 13, and so Josiah sent out men to go and inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Josiah recognized they hadn't been doing what the book said they should be doing, and he wanted to know more about it. Not only was he regretful of the sin and regretful for what had taken place, he set out to do something about it, to change it, to change the pattern and the way they had been living. And as they went out to find out more about it, notice who's the head of these things, who's ushering these things on. It's Josiah. And it's due to his reverence for God that's found in verses 18 through 20. Verse 18, but to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel regarding the words which you have read and have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. Josiah's reverence for God allowed Josiah to be blessed, and that he would not see all the evil that was pronounced upon the place. But that nevertheless did not remove the consequences that were to be enacted. We see again in verses 14 through 17 that when the king had sent the men to Huldah to find out about the prophecies, the speaking of the words of this book, she said to them, verse 15, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. The consequences for their idolatry were still to be faced. But Josiah was headed in the right direction. And that revival that was taking place in the nation in Judah and in Jerusalem was a revival that necessitated repentance. And so in verses 1 and 2, we find that the people turned to God in 2 Kings chapter 23. Then the king sent And they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. With this revival that was taking place, there was great emphasis placed upon the words of the law of the book that was found. And when we place great emphasis upon the words of the book of God, we too will have revival. And that revival will involve every aspect of our life. Every aspect of life is reformed in revival. We look there in 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning in verse 4 and going all the way through verse 20, and we find the reforming of things as Josiah would be the leader of them, and being as he was the leader in getting rid of these things. He took out all the equipment of the idolatry that was being performed in the land. He removed the idolatrous leaders. He removed the idolatrous facilities in which they were practicing these things. There are going to be things in our life that we must get rid of as revival takes place. But it was not enough just to get rid of the evil influences. Josiah had to replace those influences with influences that were good. And thus Josiah commanded all the people to celebrate the Passover, as we find there in chapter 23, verse 21. But it all began with a renewal of a covenant. Look back with me at 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 3. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people entered into the covenant. Josiah was the leader of these things, but the people joined with him. They followed suit, following his leading, as this revival would take place in their land, of getting rid of all of the idolatrous things that were coming between them and God, and replacing them with good influences, a focus and an emphasis upon God and His Word. So what will revival look like in us today? What things will we have to get rid of in our lives to look more like God would have His people to look? What things will we have to bring into our lives to look more like the people that God would have us to look like? What will revival look like in our lives? What will it look like in the church today? Then we might consider, have we prepared for such a revival? Are we really ready for that type of revival to take place, in which every aspect of our lives is reformed so that they are more in keeping with God's will than they currently are? Are we ready? Are we prepared for such a revival to take place? Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 5, or chapter 7, excuse me. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, "Truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Skipping now to verse number 10. Then on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people to their tents, rejoicing and happy of heart because of the goodness that God, or that the Lord, had shown to David and to Solomon and to his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. In preparing for revival, there are some things mentioned there in verse 14 specifically that we might need to attune our ears to. That we are to humble ourselves before God. If we ever expect to be exalted by God, we must humble ourselves before Him. We must pray and we must seek His face and turn away from our wicked ways. Four things that would be important for you and I to take part in preparing for revival. But furthermore, to prepare for revival, we must get rid of the roadblocks to revival. The roadblock of pride, of thinking that we're not in need of revival, that revival is for someone else in some other place. The roadblock of prayerlessness, leaving God out of our plans or else forgetting to include Him. God will be in revival when revival does come, whether we ask Him to be a part of it or not. We need to remove the roadblock of satisfaction, feeling satisfied with where we are and with what we've already accomplished and being complacent in it. We must remove the roadblock of sin. For sin will keep us from seeing the need for revival. Sin will keep us from asking God for revival. Sin will give us a false sense of satisfaction, which will lead us further to sin, further wandering away from God. And so here are four keys to preparing for revival that we might focus upon in this final week leading up to our gospel meeting. First, get lower still. This idea comes from Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. We need to get lower still. If we believe that in this life we are self-sufficient, we need to get lower still. And if we think that we are humble and that we have humbled ourselves enough, we need to get lower still. And we need to pray big prayers. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Every time I read that, the opening phrase, the beginning of Ephesians 3 and verse 20, I think of the stair steps that just keep going higher and higher, further and further into the distance. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God is so far beyond us in what He can do. And yet we choose to limit Him sometimes. We need to be praying big prayers. We need to follow the motto that we may have been taught as students, stated as to reach for the stars and beyond. The higher we reach, the more we will accomplish. So let's pray big prayers and just see what God can and what God will accomplish through us in revival. We need to hunger after God. Revival is falling in love with Jesus again. A.W. Tozer said, "If we longed for God as a bride looks forward to the return of her husband, we would be a far greater force for God than we are now." Revival, being hungry for God. The psalmist wrote about this very thing when he wrote in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And in Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, "O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory." Are we hungering after God? Are we hungering after His righteousness as we prepare for revival? And we must remove self from sin. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Stop participating in sin. Stop trying to justify wrongful actions. Stop trying to justify all the reasons that we have given for delaying our return to God, and remove ourselves from sin and prepare for revival to take place in our lives. When do we need revival? We indeed need it all the time. And it may be the case that we need it even now. Revival will be of such a nature that everything in our lives is reformed so that our central focus is upon God once again and holy things. We need to prepare for it. We need to be ready for what lies ahead. And as we prepare ourselves for revival, I have to ask, have we prayed for revival? The psalmist asked a very important question of God there in Psalm 85 and verse 6. He said, "Will You not revive us again?" Asking God for revival. Have we asked God for a renewal in spiritual lives? Have we asked God for a renewal of spiritual life in this congregation? Have we asked God for a renewal of spiritual matters in this community? But some will ask, does the church need revival? The church at Ephesus was told that her love for Christ was no longer fervent. The church at Pergamos tolerated sin. The church at Thyatira tolerated idolatry and immorality. The church at Sardis was a dead church, and the church at Laodicea was indifferent and lukewarm. All of them needed revival. I dare say that not a one of them saw the need for it. And so the Lord revealed to them their need and called upon them for revival, a returning to Him and being alive again to Him. We are living in a time in which many Christians act as though they are defeated. Many Christians are discouraged. Many Christians have fallen away. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. But many times we as Christians just don't act like it. And there's another need for revival. We need revival that will restore joy and victory to the children of God. Do we desire such revival? Do we desire such revival to such impressive parts that we would pray for such a revival in our own lives and also in the lives of others? God is the source of revival, and God wants to send revival upon those who will genuinely seek after it. We must pray to God that He grant us revival. Pray that men and women everywhere will get right with God, that families and friends will allow God to be back in the place where He ought to be in their lives through a renewal of relationship with Him, a revived relationship with Him. If we want revival to come, we've got to ask God for it. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 8, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 4, and Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, respectively. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, that He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Lord, I have heard the report about You, and I fear. O Lord, revive Your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Will the Lord at this time revive the work which we are a part of? The work that is His? Have you considered this evening the questions that we have looked at together? I hope that you have. For now it is time for us to answer these same questions concerning personal revival. Do I need revival? And do I need revival in my life now? What will revival look like in my life? What needs to change so that we can be right with God? What needs to change so that we will be more like Him by the things we say, the things we do, and the things we avoid? Have I prepared for revival? Prepared for revival to be experienced? Prepared for revival to be witnessed in the lives of others as they see it lived out in my life? And have I prayed for revival? God has given us just such an opportunity. He's given it to us this evening. Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life that you regret? Sin that you regret to the extent that your reverence for God and your reverence for holy things has caused you and compelled you to repent of them, then will you not allow God to reform you? Reform every aspect of your life that is against Him through hearing His Word, Romans 10 and verse 17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 20, 30 and 31, repenting of sin, Acts 3 and verse 19. Confessing Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Being baptized for remission of past sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And live faithfully to Him each day, Revelation 2 and verse 10. It's a revival that will take place in the life of the lost. when they come to Christ for the first time. But as I and you are well aware, many of you are Christians. Many of us have already put Christ on in baptism. But in our need for revival, is there a need in my life, is there a need in your life for reviving that covenant relationship with God after the orders of Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we beg and plead with you to make that decision to become a Christian, to become a child of God before it's too late. If you are a child of God and you've wandered away, you need revival again in your life, as the psalmist wrote about. God is waiting with open arms to receive you, and we're waiting to encourage you if you will make the decision to be revived, and revived even now, as we stand and as we sing.